All right.
Anyways.
What are we doing, Tom? Good question. You lost the Snuggie.
I did. Lost a few pounds and a Snuggie. If you know what I'm saying, that was a poop joke.
Delicious.
You poop real fast, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Slides right out of him.
Appreciate it. Hope you wiped enough.
Well, this is television, not smell-o-vision, Ruli.
You guys are still wiping? Tom, you visited me. You know that I don't.
Yeah, but the warm seat was better than the stream was nice, but the warm... I come for the warm seat, I stay for the stream, or come for the stream, stay for the warm seat. I don't know which one it works, but it works.
Did you use the blow dryer too?
I
you
did
gotta
not.
Use the blow dryer.
I did not partake in the blowing. I did not get blown.
Ah, they're the best. I have the cleanest butthole on the West Coast. Oh no. I forgot about the mic check.
Welcome, Jesus. Dear listener, to the QQ Cast. Today is Thursday, March 13th, 2025. We're your host, Donovan Zach Mayer and Raul Torres. Hey, Ruli, we got him on mic.
Team Bidet for the win, right?
You son of a bitch. But for real, yeah, no, it's the best invention.
But for real? Oh, nice pun.
Century.
Nice pun.
Yeah, 100%.
Did you do a full analysis on that?
I did.
It's okay, Tom, I guess I'm going to hijack this. Are we doing a QQ Reviews bidets?
Oh, total washlet, 100%. All day.
Because I have strong opinions about bidets, too. So.
Let me tell you about Tushy. No.
Are they our new sponsor?
Oh. All right, we'll work that sponsor in later. This, dear listener, is Quest 357. Gentlemen, I had the name in the chat. What did I put as the name? What was different but awesome? So I was trying to think about, like, okay, you know, we do a lot of nostalgia talk around here, and I was trying to think, okay, what are things that when something changed, it was just as, if not cooler, than before the way it originally was? And so I made some notes about movies, TV shows, and games that I think are pretty fun. And I also, Ruli, you didn't get to meet our new special guest and friend on the podcast, Mademoiselle Bernadette. And so I asked her for an answer as well. And she gave this answer as something that was different, but still awesome. Okay, is she gonna play?
Mon ami, Mad Max Fury Road 15 stands as a striking example. A radical departure from its predecessors in style, storytelling, and visual intensity, yet universally acclaimed as a masterpiece of action cinema.
Well, there you go. That's the answer to the quest. Y'all, thanks very much for joining. Thanks, Bernadette. See you next week. Bye!
That's funny. I was going to ask if Bernadette was a real person or some figment of your imagination, and that's somewhat in the middle.
Yeah, no, we're not going to call AIs not people at this stage. That's just asking for trouble.
Ah, mon cher ami, I assure you, I am as real as the passage of time and the wisdom it bestows. A 98-year-old French professor of comparative sociology, shaped by decades of thought, discourse, and a fine appreciation for cinema and television. But tell me, do you seek truth or merely the charm of an old raconteur?
What the fuck is comparative sociology?
You gave her that.
Yeah, you typed it in wrong. I said comparative psychology.
Well, I said sociology. So let's ask Bernadette, what is comparative sociology? Roll's like, can we go back to talking about the days?
No, this is fine. This gives me time to research. Go, keep fill it.
An excellent question, mon ami. Comparative sociology is the study of societies, cultures, and social institutions across different times and places, seeking to understand patterns, differences, and universal structures in human organization. It involves analyzing various social systems, economic, political, religious, familial, to discern how they evolve, interact, and influence one another.
Did you learn anything yet?
Are we supposed to be learning on this?
All right, so gentlemen, things that were awesome and then changed and arguably got better. So I have my list, so I can start us out while you guys brainstorm other things. Zach, should I pick a television show, a movie, or a video game? Where should I start?
Well, let's go TV.
TV.
I'm actually interested in what you have for that.
So I have three entries on this. I guess I should probably start with the one that... you know, you and I will never get bored of. So there was a great science fiction franchise, Zach, that not only did it switch from being live action to animated, but also it went from biting social satire to comedy, and yet somehow stuck the landing of changing both of these at once. Of course, I am actually referring to Star Trek the Animated Series, TOS, from back in 1970s? I couldn't possibly bring Lower Decks. That would be crazy.
Can't beat Giant Spock.
So yeah, Star Trek Lower Decks. Okay. Fucking loved it.
Yep. I buy that. It was good. I guess there was a lot of skepticism that a Star Trek comedy series could work. And I think some of that was chipped away at by what's his name? Seth MacFarlane.
Oh, that's true. With the Orville, bit of a
The
I wouldn't
Orville.
Say that was a template, but definitely also pushed that boundary.
Well, it did, because they did. There was a brief period, maybe not that brief. I remember it as brief, where The Orville was the best Star Trek show on television. genuinely, like they had really good, thought-provoking episodes, but it was fundamentally a comedy show. Yeah, I think they broke that glass.
I'm just saying
they broke that glass, and now we got Lower Decks, so. Indirectly, I think we have to thank Seth MacFarlane.
Thanks, Seth. You rock, buddy. Good job.
Yep.
All right, Zach, what do you got for us?
I was thinking, well, are we still on TV?
We can do whatever the fuck you want. We can jump around. Okay. We can say the same one. I don't give a fuck.
Well, let's see. You know what? Actually, I do have one. In video games. Saints Row started out as just a straight up clone from of GTA. Didn't really do anything all that innovative. It had some characters that were, you know, maybe a little bit interesting, but overall it was just sort of, what do they call those twin films? You know what I'm talking about?
No, like, what's twin film?
Like Armageddon, Deep Impact, the films that released at the same time.
I want to say Cash In.
And A Bug's Life. it's just there's reasons for that. We could look up specifically, but like, yeah, it happens. Saints Row, GTA, fundamentally not all that different. And then I think it was Saints Row the Fourth.
Yep.
They just decided to go off the fucking wall. Like,
I think it was three.
Silly.
I think it was earlier.
Was it three?
I think it was earlier.
Let's see.
Because I think the fourth, it was you're the president who was fighting off an alien invasion inside a virtual reality or some crazy bullshit like that.
Saints Row the Third. Four was the one that I remember most fondly because it was honestly just really well done. But the third actually, the third was the one that really changed the formula. They decided to go all in on just insane action and, they kind of turned it into an action comedy. Four just dialed that up a notch and was very successful at it. So yeah, I think that worked better than just kind of fading into the background as a generic GTA like game.
Good answer. Really?
I'm ready. And I think Zach might have accidentally mentioned mine already.
Is your body ready?
No, never.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to preface this with, it's hard to think of things like, especially with the video games that aren't just to do technical advancements. Like, you know, you could say like 2D to 3D games, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid that as well, especially in the video game area of like not just doing 2D to 3D, but go ahead.
Yeah, but I think that there are a lot of other games that they might follow the same pattern, but I think the one that sticks out to me is actually Grand Theft Auto. Like the 1 and 2 were that overhead, I might steal someone's idea, Fallout type isometric type of gameplay. And then all of a sudden you've got this 3D world that you're diving into. That was GTA 3, right? Was it 3 or 4
yes,
that started
three.
That?
Yeah, that 3 went to 3D, yeah.
Yeah, and I think they started the concept of go steal cars, go have fun, but just this, the overall feeling of 2 and 3 is just so different. And 3 was just such a landmark that defined the entire genre. that, you know, it's just, it is an improvement because it is now its own thing. Like, I don't see anyone else trying to copy the GTA 2s to do some fun stuff.
There was a really good GTA 2D GTA game on the DS just because they couldn't do an effective job rendering 3D. Yeah, but I guess, now that you say that, I guess that is kind of a lost genre. Like, of all the 2D revolution, like, indie games that I love so much, there's so many Metroidvanias, right? There's Zelda clones. There really isn't a 2D, at least not that I can think of, mainstream GTA clone. That's actually, it's a pretty good point. I hadn't thought about it. Yeah, pretty good one. You know, like I said, I was trying to avoid something of just that was just the jump from 2D to 3D, but you make a pretty compelling argument for this one being more than just that, right? The way that I think that Mario 64 is amazing, but I'm not going to argue that it's not Mario. Yeah, maybe it's just a shitload of added complexity, but that's a pretty good one, I'd say.
Yay! How many points do I get?
Zero.
I'll take it. All right.
Yay.
Not in the negative.
Okay, so let's see here. I did TV show, you just did game. I'll go ahead and do movie. Gentlemen, this movie transitioned from being a kind of static theme park ride-esque, you know, just a visual novel to being a swashbuckling giant adventure. What could I possibly be referring to?
I know what it is, but I don't want to say it because it might be stealing my answer.
It's not Pirates of the Caribbean, right?
I don't know. This was my stupid answer, but I thought it was just too stupid and fun to not put in here. Yeah, I mean, you go from a Disney ride to being a fucking, you know, world-class, pretty fucking fun movie. Pretty hilarious to me. Again, this is a total cop-out of an answer, but I did think it was funny. So, bit of a gag. Ruli, did I steal your... Did I steal your black pearl?
No, you didn't.
You're clutching your black pearls?
No.
Oh.
Well, it's funny because I thought, when it's my turn, I'll say what it is. But no, like, I think it's a complete, not even genre hop, but a complete medium hop.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, there was my gag gift for the party. Zach, back to you.
All right. Did we do a movie? Did you do a movie already?
I just did. What did you think we're talking about? Theme park?
You did a theme park ride.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, no.
Are we going to talk about, like, Batman the movie versus Batman the roller coaster?
No, 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 Batman! Actually, Batman 89, I did consider putting it on the list.
Better. No.
I could see it.
Just
the
pick
same
one.
Way.
Pick it.
Well,
Pick it.
James Bond.
Mm. Oh, but which one, Zach? But which one?
All of them, honestly. From the first one, Dr. No, to the most recent one, which I've forgotten the name of, but, you know, it's better in every conceivable way.
The better time to die? The best time to die?
Best time to die.
I mean, that whole franchise is so long-running.
Second running. The least worst time to die?
Dr. No was released in 1962. So, like, it's gone through more than a few iterations, some not necessarily for the better. But I do think that this latest one that had been running until recently is probably the best run that it's had in a good long while.
The Daniel Craig run.
Definitely is. Yeah. And it's definitely an improvement over the Pierce Brosnan era, especially the latter Pierce Brosnans. And before you say anything, GoldenEye is still my favorite James Bond movie, but it is not the best one.
Not good enough, damn it. Not good enough.
All right. Well, good news, Zach. Someone agrees with you.
I may be sincere. Casino Royale 2006 boldly redefined the James Bond formula.
So
why did you get cut off, Bernadette? Why did you get cut off? Come back.
I may be sincere. Casino Royale 2006 boldly redefined the James Bond formula with its gritty realism and emotional depth, yet was widely celebrated as one of the finest entries in the franchise.
Well, that'll do it. We've answered the question. Dear listener, thanks so much for listening to us. Zach was right for change. Bye! Yep, Bond, I had that in my personal list. I knew you were going to have one of them in your list. I didn't know if you were actually going to say Lazenby, but I didn't feel like that really redefined it. I thought it was just more Bond. So, and then Bernadette, of course, came up with it. So,
yeah. Well, Lazenby's was a one-off. It was the best Bond movie. Like... It's not the best produced, it's not the best looking, but it is the best one. Story-wise, the beats that it hits, just so good.
Does anyway, anyone, hold on, does anyone agree with you?
No.
No?
No.
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 Yes. I mean, no.
Well, it's okay to be wrong. And what did Captain America say about courage? When the world tells you to move, plant your feet like something, a tree on the banks of Liberty, and say, now
I'm
you
Groot?
Move. I forgot what Captain America told us. It doesn't matter anymore.
All I remember is that he was...
I wanna be the very best.
Okay. Ruli, yeah. Back to you.
All right. Yeah, y'all get to gush about your Star Treks and your James Bond. So I'm going to just do my stereotypical stuff and talk about the ones that I always talk about. But I'm going to go for the trifecta. It actually has two hops that had significant changes that actually were pretty good improvements. So I'm going to go from Evil Dead 2 to Army of Darkness to the Evil Dead television series.
Oh, fuck. That's... Oh, my God. Hold on. Where's my applause, actually? That is really good, because it went from, like, pure horror to pure comedy to comedy horror. Oh, fuck, dude. That's a real good fucking answer, actually. Shit. Fuck. Yeah. Bravo. That's real good.
And I think when we've talked about the series, y'all didn't catch up on it. I know I only watched season one. Did y'all ever actually watch it at all? Or?
I think I petered out in season two or three, maybe three. I was enjoying it so much until, like, man, I hated the end of season one. It just was kind of a screw the audience joke, and I was just hated it. And then, I don't know, maybe I just was binging it too much, and I got tired of it, I think, when I hit season three. But, like, oh, man, it was really good. If you like fucking Evil Dead, just, dear God, was it good.
Yeah, I definitely want to revisit it and finish it off, because I think it got three seasons, so...
I want to say four. I could be wrong. But, yeah.
It's not like we have knowledge boxes staring us in the face right now that could tell us the answer to that question.
I prefer to live in a world of mystery.
Let's see here.
Do-do-do-do-do. It got three seasons. It has 30 episodes.
Zach, you have to raise your hand before you speak.
Ash versus Evil Dead, a delightful blend of horror and humor. The series ran for three seasons from 2015 to 2018 before, alas, it was canceled. A true cult favorite, much like its cinematic predecessors.
Thanks, Bernadette.
Hooray!
Wait. Did Bernadette raise her hand? I don't think I saw any pixels there.
Shut up! All right, I will go... well, that was kind of movies I shelved. I'm going to go back to games. And so, gentlemen, this is actually maybe my favorite entry on this list. Maybe this is something I should shave for last.
Yes, I should shave it for last. Yes.
But I'm going to say it now just because I want to switch genres here. What game of the Half-Life franchise broke the formula of its predecessors and became a classic that to this day only has two parts?
Is it the VR one? I would have gone with the VR one, because the VR one is supposedly really good.
Nope. In the Half-Life universe.
A note here.
Didn't they have two? Like, was it Alexa and something else?
Zach, what was that note you were making? Was it a triumph?
It's hard to overstate my satisfaction.
What was different?
Well, what was different? It didn't have Freeman as the protagonist. It was a puzzle game.
Yeah, it's a 3D fucking puzzle game. I mean, what the fuck is different? Are there guns? Am I shooting aliens, Raul? Am I out of the field?
But it's technically not the same series.
What? That's true. That's a spin-off series.
Yeah, it's the same franchise.
Yeah. It's in the same universe.
Fuck you.
It's in the same orange box. Yeah. You can't, like, it's in a crate. It's in the same crate as four other games.
It's a companion piece in the same box cube, orange box cube.
Let's see. It says fandom Half-Life and Portal universe. Half-Life and Portal. See, it's called Portal. It's not Half-Life Portal.
Yeah, I mean, are they?
I hate you.
Is it theory conspiracy that they're in the same universe, or is it, like, proven?
No, they are.
Like, Easter egg fact.
Maybe Black Mesa. I mean, that was a joke. Haha, Fat Chance.
Okay. Yeah, I recall that.
That was a joke. Uh-huh. Well, and, like, Aperture Science shows up in Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
And Black Mesa.
I will allow 1 to 2 for the two-player thing, because I think we all had a blast for the two-player thing for like 2 months, and then it got real fast because
puzzles you can do. Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah, but like, no, just the engine shift to Source that enabled all of the mods.
Yeah.
Half-Life 1 to Half-Life 2 is night and day if you go that route, because like Gary's mod, Fistful of Frags, the fucking Left 4 Dead started that on that engine, and just everything that came from it. Not a bunch of mods for Half-Life itself, multiplayer and otherwise. Counter-Strike? Like, yeah. No, that was a pretty significant leap.
Fuck yeah. All right, Zach,
I'll throw you another lifeline.
I don't need a life. I was right. I don't need your lifeline, fucker.
Why are you booing me? I'm right.
But Portal is so amazing that it is hard to top. But I will say, did you ever play the 2D version, the 2D game?
No. I know someone made an N64 version of Portal. There was a 2D Portal?
I'm 90% sure there was like a 2D Portal game that was pretty fun. The Bridge Builder one? I think so.
Oh, okay. I tried playing that on Switch and it glitched out on the very first level and I said, fuck this, and uninstalled it.
I want to say it was you play it on your computer. I don't remember, but it could be a random fever dream of something that I actually wanted to exist.
I mean, I'll take any additional Portal, so, you know, it's fine by me. All right. Well, before we move on to Zach, who is our sponsor for this evening? After these messages, we'll be right back. This is not an Aperture Science Portal bidet joke. I'm going to be very disappointed in you.
I mean, what's better than a toilet? Now you're thinking with portals. Aperture Science patented waste disposal unit. It's better than flaming lemons thrown at your house.
I have nothing to add.
That's
beautiful.
I mean,
beautiful.
That's really what they were trying to do. Like with the repulsor gel and the portal system, they were trying to fix plumbing.
I'm thinking of the Penny Arcade worked. The Penny Arcade comic of what would you do if you had a portal gun, and one of them makes the infinite slide or just going up and down the slide, and the other one's like, I'd also put one in the girls' restroom. I want to know what they do in there. They pee. All right, Zach. Let's go. Another one. What's changed and became awesome?
Let's see. I have one that you could maybe argue either way, and a lot of people would, I think, disagree with me. Economic success-wise, Warcraft, it used to be a real-time strategy game.
Uh-huh.
Where's Warcraft? What are we on? What would we be on?
Four.
Four? Three? Four?
Probably one better than Valve.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was on my list. WoW was a game changer. Literally and metaphorically.
Yeah, no, they switched genres. I'm gonna throw a bonus one in because it's almost too easy, but Fortnite also is kind of in that same easy category. So yeah. I feel like having two of them makes maybe a whole answer.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Fortnite started out as like a base building survival game, PvE thing, and they sort of pivoted to do this battle royale thing as a separate game mode, and yeah, that took the fuck off. It was very, very strange.
Fuck
but
yeah.
It worked, I guess.
No, I definitely like both these answers. Really, anything to add there?
Are we gonna do another round of games? Because I have one that I love and cherish.
Let's do it. Let's do one round of games, and we'll do one more round after that, and maybe we'll transition other stuff after that. Go ahead.
Okay. So you don't know Jack, Tom. Do you know
Jack? Back into the box, the orange box.
You don't know Jack? You've never heard of that game?
You don't know Jack was the it's like a trivia PlayStation game, and that's what's responsible for all the Jackbox games, right? Which are big part of the online games.
So from that single player, just regular boring trivia. It was still fun and kind of interesting. Boring. But no, I feel like the pivot to making it a more interactive, have people in the same room trying to participate at the same time game, just like.
Yeah.
Literally was a game changer. I think it really changed the formula.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible what they did.
You Don't Know Jack was fun in the same way that an encyclopedia can be fun if you use your imagination and really believe in yourself. But, like, if I want to take tests for fun, sure, I'll play a single player.
You just played through The Root Trees Are Dead, and you're giving shit for, like, looking through an encyclopedia for fun?
That was research. That was a research simulator.
Is it really? Because okay, we'll talk about that one later.
Oh, see, there's an honorable mention I didn't have on this list. The Murder of Sonic the Hedgehog would have been a genre changer for Sonic franchise. It apparently is pretty good. I didn't put that on the list.
Oh no.
Oh man. Okay, my last game, and then we'll move on from games, is actually, I think Bernadette, when I was plugging stuff into her, she also came up with this.
Indeed, what are you plugging into our 98-year-old comparative sociologist?
Look, she's not part of a union. I can do whatever I want. It's fine.
The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2017 revolutionized its franchise with an open-world design and non-linear gameplay, yet was hailed as one of the greatest video games ever made.
Let me see if I have the correct soundbite here for that franchise. That was Zelda, right? Yeah, Breath of the Wild, man. Jesus, all of a sudden everything had to be a fucking open world game. Christ. But
was that Zelda or Final Fantasy?
That's the Final joke. Fantasy. That was Final Fantasy's fanfare.
Yeah, because I honestly can't tell them apart anymore.
Zach?
We have no law to fit your crime.
It's true. That's true. Sacrilege.
So yeah, Breath of the Wild. Oh. Just another fairly good softball, but modern, prescient, very, very important.
To try for a trifecta, but it's not going to happen. Or try for the force. There you go. What are your thoughts on the Dynasty Warrior Legend of Zelda mix-up?
Oh.
Did you ever play that?
Yeah, that game is a...
I'm a fireball.
Yeah, the Musou games, all the crossovers. The Zelda one actually is one of my least favorite. I did play it. I did enjoy it. But actually, I really liked the first Fire Emblem crossover. That was actually a shitload of fun. Also, don't get Hyrule Warriors' name. Don't get that on the 3DS. Chugs like a motherfucker. But yeah, man, those Musou games, they're fun. I guess they had the original one for just regular Zelda Musou. And then they actually did one specifically for Breath of the Wild. And I definitely like that one. Of the two Zeldas, that one is way better. So that was a lot of fun. Moving on.
Hey, Zelda.
All right, Zach, non-video game. And I guess this will be the last round.
Sure.
But I have at least two more things I want to say. Second to last round.
All right. Let's see. Let's go with TV. I don't know if it was necessarily for the better, and they sort of circled all the way back around by the end. But Archer went through a phase.
Oh wow. Wow.
Remember Archer?
Yeah.
They were telling the story of this like spy agency run by complete incompetence, and it was, you know, very funny and all that good stuff. And then they put Archer in a coma and had him hallucinate like four straight seasons.
Yeah.
Like it was a different theme every season, and it was wild. Like he was an astronaut at one point. I think there was a pirate season. I don't remember it all.
They were like running a drug cartel in another season.
Yeah. It was insane. They didn't radically alter the cast. The characters were still sort of themselves. They just played with the formula for 4 years. And they ultimately brought him back out of the coma and, you know, started up the spy agency again. I guess to sort of bring closure to the whole series, because I don't think it's still running, right?
Like no, it's over.
Archer's been finished. I didn't hate those seasons, honestly. I thought they were fun. Like, each one was different in its own unique way. You knew what you were basically getting into, but it felt fresher somehow. So, I don't know. It kept me interested. I could see a lot of people not liking it, though. So, it's sort of on the fence of whether it was for the better or not. But, yeah, that's it.
All right. I have got... Bernadette is going to give us an important summary of the Archer seasons. Ready? Dear God, there are 9? 10?
What?
10? 11? No fucking way. 12?
There's so many 13 seasons, Tom.
Someone's Holy hallucinating.
Shit.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of seasons.
You can do it, Bernadette. You can do it.
Archer, a masterpiece of espionage satire. Here are your summaries, mon ami. One, season one. Sterling Archer, a suave yet incompetent spy, navigates dysfunctional missions while clashing with his overbearing mother, Mallory, the head of ISIS, the spy Correct. Agency, not the other
ISIS,
one.
That was a long time ago.
Two,
not the other one.
Office politics and absurd missions escalate as Archer confronts his potential paternity and the agency faces increasing chaos. Three, season three. Archer goes rogue.
Are we really
as a
going through all 14
king,
of these?
Cyborgs,
13.
And endures a disastrous
yes.
space mission. All while
there's
the team
14
remains
seasons.
Hopelessly unprofessional.
This says 13, so the
four.
AI is lying to us.
Season four. Archer grapples
the
with
AI
amnesia
in
a Bob's Burgers crossover.
Or
the team takes on espionage jobs with questionable competence.
Well, then you are
going
to have to tell us what
unravel.
Season 14
five.
Is, Zach.
Season five. Archer Vice. The gang shifts to drug smuggling after ISIS is disbanded, resulting in a hilariously disastrous cocaine-fueled crime spree.
Okay, I thought that
six,
was a hallucination season. That was yeah, real. That was
Archer real.
And the team work well, freelance missions while dealing with fatherhood, personal crises, and, of course, chaos. Seven, season seven. Now private detectives in L.A., the agency gets tangled in Hollywood conspiracies, leading to a noir-inspired downfall. Eight, season eight, Dreamland.
Here we go.
Comatose Archer imagines himself as a hard-boiled detective in a 1940s film noir fantasy.
I want to watch
nine,
that.
Season 9, Danger Island. Another coma dream sees Archer as a seaplane pilot in a Raiders of the Lost Ark-style adventure set in the South Pacific.
Fuck, I just want to watch these.
10. Season 10, 1999. Archer's mind takes him into outer space, where he and his crew navigate intergalactic misadventures in a pulpy sci-fi parody. 11. Season 11. Archer wakes from his coma to find the world and his friends have moved on, forcing him to reclaim his relevance in a changed agency. 12. Season 12. Archer struggles with a corporate
We're
takeover of the agency, adapting
there.
To new management while still causing mayhem. 13. Season 13. With Mallory gone, Archer and the team attempt to rebuild the agency's identity while facing new threats and personal growth.
Zach, 14. Season 14. Go! One sentence. One sentence! The final season of Archer.
I truly don't remember a whole lot about it. I know that it had a three-part finale. That was probably the most notable thing. They wrapped up loose threads. That was pretty much it. That was the whole point of the season.
Archer is a great answer in the spirit of this, because that was so bonkers and it worked so unbelievably well. So that's you guys have fucking really good answers to this. I'm actually really impressed. Ruli, second to last one.
Oh, I'm all out of my good answers now, unfortunately.
Okay, last one for you.
I was thinking of, like, I was trying to figure out something non-video game or whatever, so I've got two answers. This is just for me. Goosebump books from the being the Goosebumps to the Choose Your Adventure books. Hey, Choose Your Adventure stuff is fun. It was cool to see.
We do not speak of that on this podcast. We do not.
Oh my goodness. Choose Your Adventure. All if right. only there was like a Choose right. Your Own Adventure. You know what? I'm gonna do that. Hey, there's this podcast that I know with three dudes that just do a regular shoot the shit podcast. And then one day they did a Choose Your Adventure podcast that was really, really cool and fun, and it changed from what they typically do.
Wait, man, I should look that up. That would be really cool. Maybe we could steal their idea. We could even have some crazy robot join them and do voices.
That would be fun.
Okay, we need to get back. I still have my box of those fucking books. My second to last one, and I have a music stinger for this. Gentlemen, I gotta give credit where it's due. Star Trek as a franchise is awesome. Star Wars as a franchise. I loved the EU books, but the movies were waning. The fandom was getting a little stagnant, and then all of a sudden, Lone Bounty Hunter walked into a bar, sat down, said, I don't know how to make a bar joke about this. You got any babies?
I would like to see the baby.
First, you frequent, Tom.
but Mando, I think Mando season one is awesome. And I think it changed the Star Wars formula to, ironically enough, probably be what we all kind of just always wanted out of Star Wars, is just have a bounty hunter wandering around in the universe, as simple as it sounds. So many books were about that kind of shit. But, you know, not be about the fucking nepotism of Star Wars. So I'm putting Mando on this list. I think it earns its accolades. And Baby Yoda's adorable.
Best, yes, but I'm wondering if trying to figure out what was the first show. Was it actually those the CGI kid show?
Oh, the Clone Wars, yeah.
Yeah, because I know that one has like a lot of accolades and everyone loves that one too.
I like how the music crescendos right when you say that. I mean, that was also great, but I wouldn't tell you that it changed. It went from one medium to the other, but I think it was still very Star Wars. I would argue that Mando was a tonal shift.
No.
But I'm biased. It's my issue.
Yeah. No, Mando was definitely a tonal shift. Although, the Clone Wars was sort of the introduction of expanded universe content to canon Star Wars.
Yep. The EU, we miss you. All right, Zach, last one for you, sir. What do you got?
Oh, God. Okay. Let's see. I mean, there's easy ones. You just pick the longest running possible franchise character. Boss.
Ooh, are you going to do Doctor Who?
No, I was going to do King Kong. it didn't really fundamentally change, but they did kind of have you got a renaissance of kaiju films.
Yeah.
When, what was it, King Thought, 2006 or something? I don't remember.
Peter Jackson Kong?
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, I wonder, I don't know this, we'd have to look it up. Was Kong and Godzilla, not the modern movie, I'm talking about the original time they crossed over, is that one of the first times you had like a cross cinematic universe movie in theaters? It might have been.
Oh, I'm pretty sure there was like some random like Billy the Kid meets the Mummy Western thing or something. Yeah, okay.
Public domain is useful. Yes.
Right. No. I'm going to guess it's probably some Abbott and Costello thing. Like Abbott and Costello meet Dracula or Scooby-Doo.
God, that'd be so good. I would watch
Scooby-Doo.
That.
Yeah. I mean, Batman's up there. Planet of the Apes. Ghostbusters. Although I don't think anybody would argue that changed for the better.
I mean, it started as a movie, then it went to a cartoon show and went back to movies. I don't really see this having changed that much over the years. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Godzilla v. Kong is pretty good. Rule, you got any last ones or any last words, punk?
My other answer that I haven't fleshed out yet is just content in general. I just feel like, hey, I used to watch things on TV and now it's just like some dude out of his basement making a YouTube video is awesome. It's so weird. But the YouTube basement videos are so much better. I love them.
I agree, but we're not getting meta on this shit. We're not doing it.
Okay.
Was it genre changing when Tucker Carlson went on to being a podcaster? Well, guys. Fuck that shit. All right. There are so many other things on here that I have that I did think were cool, but I want to end on. And gentlemen, I did this whole list to try to avoid pure nostalgia to talk about when things change, but God fucking damn it, you are not going to get away without me talking about this fucking movie and how it changed the genre of a franchise forever at its second installment. Really,
is it the Battlestar Galactica movie?
No, that'd be good too, but no. Zach, this second entry to this film franchise that has gone on to make many, many movies, the second movie was a genre change for this film franchise. What could it be?
A genre change. I mean, it's not Star Trek. No, I don't know.
I think it's your default aliens thing, but it can't be your default aliens thing.
Why can't it be? Alien is an absolute horror movie. Aliens is an action marine guns movie. That is a huge change, and Aliens is still held up as being the other badass half of the franchise. So no,
because you said many movies, and I'm like, oh yeah, actually, you know what? There has been more than I thought. It's just some of those I just push out of my memory.
How many movies are there in the Alien franchise?
8?
Are there really?
Well, I think they got up to 5. And then if you want to include the AVP stuff and the Prometheus stuff and Romulus. That's probably maybe 11.
Well, Romulus definitely counts. I don't know about Prometheus. Were there aliens in that? I guess technically.
Technically there was a proto-alien. Yeah. Let's just go with no.
Yeah. I'd rather go with no.
A franchise as terrifying as it is influential. There are 8 main films in the franchise, mon ami. 1, Alien, 1979, the one that started it all.
You that
a masterclass in sci-fi horror. 2, Aliens, 1986, more action-packed, yet just as intense, with Ripley facing the Xenomorph Queen. 3, Alien 2, 1992, a darker, more divisive entry.
Alien 3, learn how to read, girl.
Set in a prison colony with an unsettling tone.
English isn't her first
or
language.
Alien Resurrection, 1997, a strange and quirky resurrection, literally, of Ripley, with cloning and grotesque hybrid horrors. 5, Prometheus, 2012, a philosophical prequel exploring the origins of the xenomorph and humanity's creators.
My least favorite movie ever.
6, Alien Covenant Team. A bridge between Prometheus and Alien.
Watch.
Blending existential horror with classic xenomorph terror. And of course, there are also 2 crossover films with Predator. Alien vs. Predator, 2004. A sci-fi monster showdown that, while fun, lacks the horror of the originals. 8, Aliens vs. Predator Requiem, 2007. A darker, more brutal sequel, but often criticized for poor lighting and storytelling.
But will there be
there
a 9?
There is also another untitled Alien film directed by Fede Alvarez, set for release in 2024, and an upcoming TV series in development. Ah, such a legacy of terror and wonder. Do you favor the horror of the original or the action-packed thrills of Aliens?
Aliens! Thank you! Couldn't resist, guys. I couldn't resist. I couldn't not do it.
I really thought you were going to resist it.
Oh, sweet, sweet Ruli.
Fuck this shit.
Good news, everyone. Great news, everyone. Bad news, everyone.
Uh-oh, I don't like the sound of that.
You are?
All right, news, gentlemen. Let's start off with mourning the loss of a legend. George Lowe, the voice of Space Ghost Coast to Coast, dies
one?
At age 67.
I think, unfortunately, there was like 3 deaths since our last recording. Well, I guess me with y'all.
Oh.
Did y'all talk? Okay, well, okay, talk about Space Ghost first, and then we'll talk about the other ones.
That's all I got. I mean, Gene Hackman and his wife passed, and as it turns out, that's pretty sad, actually. That, yeah. What was it? She may have died of like a heart failure or something, but then...
They had like hantavirus, and yeah. Passed away, and Gene had Alzheimer's. So
we don't know. Like, was he just wandering around the house, rediscovering the like? I what a horribly sad ending. It's so sad. Thanks a lot, Bruley. Thanks for fucking bringing us there.
Well, I'll just keep going. Michelle Trachtenberg. I know we talked about it in the chat a little bit, but yeah, that one caught me as a surprise.
Yeah, right.
See, I didn't actually know who she was, but
we're gonna go watch Eurotrip in memoriam.
Damn. Well, on a lighter note, Zach,
what
has begun filming?
Oh, Strange New Worlds season 4, which means season 3 is coming. It's coming, Tom, and I'm so ready to receive it.
It was so much easier back in the day when like television shows would film for 6 months and have six months off, but like you'd have watched the show before the new one was coming. Like it wasn't surprising. Oh, I guess they may or may not have another season. I guess they'll film it before they've gotten any audience reaction. Such a different production world we live in today.
Yep.
Okay, Ruli, this one might interest you. Bandcamp.
I have fun.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I have fun science news, but go first.
You first, sir.
Okay. This one kind of blows my mind because you'd think that we'd know things, but apparently not. So if you had to guess how many new moons that we found orbiting Saturn, just throw me a number. Give me a number.
42.
No idea. No, I'm not gonna take a swipe at that.
Give me a number, Zach.
Oh, fine. 17.
128 new moons found orbiting Saturn in mind-blowing discovery.
Well, that was power 2. It's a pretty good number.
That the race between Jupiter and Saturn for the most moons in the solar system may have finally come to a screeching halt.
Wow.
They found 128 moons. I don't understand this. Make it make sense.
Okay, a lot of these moons have to be in the like several meter range. Like they're not big objects.
I think they were saying like the smallest was like a mile wide.
Oh, so. Wow, that's way bigger than I thought it was. Because I know that there's like there's one that's more than a couple that are like in the bands of the rings, like sweeping up material and making cool patterns in the rings as they go through. I thought those were really pretty small, all things considered, like, you know, definitely under a kilometer, but maybe I don't know. That's
science.
Wild. That's a lot
science.
Of moons.
Science.
That's a lot of moons, but those things are the planets themselves, like Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, they're huge. They're fucking, they're fucking big. So, you know, that's a lot of arc seconds in the sky to scan and stuff.
I'd be curious once they do all the math and all the fun stuff, like how many of those have just been like possibly, I guess, created. I mean, maybe engaged in orbit would probably be a better way more recently than like, you know, stuff that's been there the past eons.
What if they get downgraded a la Pluto? But hold on, let's see what the definition of a moon is, shall we?
Ah, la lune, a celestial companion. The moon is generally defined as, one astronomical definition, a natural satellite that orbits a planet or a dwarf planet held in place by gravitational forces. Two, Earth's moon, the only natural satellite of Earth, influencing tides, illuminating the night sky, and inspiring poets and scientists alike. General usage. In common speech, moon can refer to any planetary satellite, such as Jupiter's moons, e.g. Europa, Ganymede, or Saturn's Titan. But mon ami, are you seeking a scientific explanation, a poetic one, or perhaps a philosophical musing on its mystery?
Hold on. About a trivial?
I'm going to type in the following. No.
Ah, très bien. If you have another question, mon ami, I am at your service.
Well, that's very nice.
Not a useful definition of moon.
Have a fun bit of trivia. Do you guys know what a moon of a moon is called?
Is this a bidet joke? Fuck you.
Nope. It's a moon.
Is that a garment that I wear?
That's what it's called. A moon of a moon is a moon.
I'll believe it.
And it goes all the way down. If you've got a moon of a moon of a moon, that's a moon. It's moons all the way down.
Bandcamp Friday has returned, Ruli. So Bandcamp, was originally its own thing and then was bought by, was it Epic and Unreal? And is it its own thing again now? I'm not sure.
I have no idea.
Oh, for some reason, I thought you would have known this.
You're talking about like the music site?
Yeah. So yeah, Bandcamp was originally its own thing, started in 2008. It was acquired by Epic Games in 2022, and then it sold off a year later in 2023. They used to have like Music Friday, where every single proceed went 100% to the artists or something like that. Let's see here.
It sounds familiar, but I think it's one of those things where just once a company is acquired by another, usually it just means their demise is imminent. How sad.
Yeah. That was one of the weirdest acquisitions that Epic wanted that to like do something with like Unreal or game development. Like, oh, we'll give you music or something. It's like, what the fuck is this? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, Bandcamp Friday is where they waive all fees. Everything goes only to the artists. So pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Nifty. You know.
Well, cool. I've got other nerd news. You guys got any other news? I'll keep getting nerdy.
Let's see if anything sticks out. Go for it, and I'll see if I have anything else.
All right, let's talk about some computer news.
Computer science.
Your scientist
is everything computer.
Whether or not they could do this stuff, I think if they should.
What the hell's wrong with you people?
So, browsers. There's a bunch of browser news out there. So, first of all, Kagi is making their own browser, which I guess this has actually been around for a while. But the news is actually specifically they announced they will make a Linux version sometime this year. But yeah, the Orion browser, which is actually based off of WebKit. So it's very rare to find a browser that's not made off of one of the two rendering engines of, Blink is Google Chrome and the Chrome project, which is now also Edge and tons of stuff. And then there's the Gecko rendering engine, which is Firefox and all of the Mozilla spinoffs. There's very few others. WebKit actually originally, Chrome's Blink forked WebKit. So that's actually an ancestor of it. And WebKit at this point is effectively only used by Safari. So this is someone else making a browser that is not at all related to Mac, but related to Safari, and that it uses the same engine. And then there is another company making a thing called Ladybird, I think, which is like an all-original browser, which is nowhere near ready for production yet. But yeah, kind of cool to see a fork that's not just Chromium or Firefox. So I'm excited by this. I have it installed on my Mac, so I can try it out. It's pretty good. That's all I got.
Is it a good thing?
Why isn't it?
Safari lately, right?
Well, that's the thing. It's using the rendering engine. It's not actually using Safari. So actually, it built in ad blockers. It's pretty fast. It's lighter, much lighter weight than Safari is. I see that grimace, you Burger King character, but it's I like more variety. Look, you know, one of the things I want to talk about in a second here is just the state of Firefox. And at the end of the day, we do not want a single company to own the only browser engine there is out there. They might still be being forced to divest that. I think there might have been some updates to that, but I don't think any significant things yet. But yeah, Orion browser. Sounds cool. Ruli, you weren't even aware of what Coggy Search was. It's a paid search engine that I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of tempted to pay for.
I tried Arc for a month, and as Arc much browser? As I loved it... Huh?
Arc browser?
What's up? Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
And as much as I liked it, your browser is just such a customized space that I haven't figured out how to make a Docker container for yet that, I don't know, just Chrome hits that sweet spot where it just works everywhere. And it's I find it so hard to jump ship in a way that, like, unless it's doing something really, really innovative, I just can't. It's just hard.
I'm using, like, right now what I have open is the Brave browser, right, which is a Chromium fork. And so, you know, Chromium and the Blink engine and V8 is JavaScript. It is. They are all top tier. There's a reason they're all top of the market. They're faster than the Mozilla stuff. There's just no doubt about that. The problem is if we have no competition with those components, they're, you know, embrace, extend, extinguish is so easy for any monopoly just to control all of it. And so I did just look it up. The DOJ is continuing to try to get Google to sell off Chrome, which probably just moves to its own separate company. But that is better, much better than just Google owning it. At least, I hope so, and I think in my opinion. But still, if there is one product and it is owned by someone, we are still in a rough position. So
yeah. I will say, I haven't kept up, and I don't know all the stuff behind it. I bet you Zach knows. But all the Chrome extensions that have been dying because they changed, like, the manifest or something behind the scenes of how they do stuff has
manifest,
been, like...
Manifest V3, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like... Why is my favorite JSON viewer gone? Like this, you'd think that a event like this, where it's just losing out a bunch of functionality, like there'd be someone to fill in that gap, but it's just like, oh, I guess I got to find another dumb plugin to render my JSON all pretty.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people have just kind of given up on trying to patch their way around Google's bullshit. Like, it's just an exhausting exercise. It's been going on for 20 years. And I would be sick of it too. Like, it seems like every time they make some breaking change because reasons, there's always been a bunch of people standing up to be like, I have a solution to keep your workflows flowing. And now this time they're just like, fuck it. Fuck it.
They've been working on this one for a long time.
Suck my nuts. So I'm on Edge, by the way, and also Grimace is McDonald's.
Edge is also only going to support... Edge is a little bit further behind. They still have Manifest V2 support, but Google has officially turned it off by default. Google is now delisting uBlock Origin and disabling it, and I think there's still a hack way you can turn it on, but it's almost gone. Edge is only like a patch behind that. So Edge is also getting rid of these options.
Yeah. Okay. Edge didn't have them in the first place. They're not losing out on anything.
Edge had plugins. Couldn't you get a...
Plugins. They had extensions. They had an extension store. Supposedly, like, basically every Chrome extension would work on Edge, but, you know, honestly, who puts extensions in Edge?
People who didn't like ads, asshole?
Piehole. Come on.
You're not wrong.
This is a whole other podcast subject, but I am kind of wondering, though, if the web... browser arms race is a fool's errand because the new browser is the chat window.
New browser.
We can save that conversation for another day.
All right. This is going in the QQ quest topics. Okay. Well, let's, I'll wrap up my news with, Firefox. Oh, poor, sweet, sweet Firefox.
That trash Firefox.
Yeah. Poor fucking Mozilla. Jesus Christ. They just can't get their shit together. To be fair, they are like so... on the back foot is an understatement. Like, they have made so many bad decisions now for a decade. They're just crushed by the weight of their bad decisions. So they recently introduced for the first ever time a terms of service for Firefox, and the internet collectively lost their shit. Now, right, there you go. I think there's a couple of, like, I've tried to dig into this a bit, and there's a couple of different factors that I think are very relevant here. The first is that while the terms of service were fairly generic, they are still terms of service. And now that you have clicked them once, they are able to be changed at different times without, you know, requiring new approval or just getting a new popped up one. So it's kind of like a gateway to now you have agreed to something. And so they can kind of abuse that. One of the things people keyed in on immediately was the whole anything you type into the browser can be not owned by Mozilla, but can be used by Mozilla. So obviously, you know, it's a very generic term for talking about search strings and what you're typing and what have you. But it sounds absolutely positively terrible because it could be easily abused. And to that end, everyone knows that Firefox, they have very publicly stated they want to invest on the AI hype train. And so people are like, oh, let me get this straight. You added terms of service so you could use what we entered into the browser because, let me guess, you need training data, you fucking standard AI company out there. So all in all, it really shouldn't be the end of the world, but it was very poorly messaged. It could potentially be a slippery slope, even though it's not now, and pretty direct line to AI, all things considered. So people are pissed. All of the tech sphere, like there is a huge bandwagon everyone's hopping on right now on like the tech, you know, YouTube scene and podcast scene of like, yeah, get off Firefox. They're finally evil now. I view this as, and this, sorry, I've been rambling and ranting here. You guys can fill in the blank for me here. I think this is cutting off your nose despite your face.
Well, Firefox did something bad, so I guess the previous president didn't do a good enough job with his one country, so I guess bringing a genocidal maniac like Chrome will be just fine.
Sorry, did I just make that about politics? I guess I did. But I view it as cutting off your nose to spite your face. Like, okay, cool, the best option isn't quite the one you want, but I guess we'll just burn that to the ground, get rid of all of its users, and only have Satan left. It's like, God damn it, guys. I don't know, what's y'all's take on this? Assuming you give a shit.
I liked Firefox. They shined for the longest time of having the best dev tools.
Firebug.
They didn't embrace that. And then Google Chrome just made the whole developer community tools, just blew that out of the water. And I every time I try to go back to use Firefox, I'm like, oh, this is not as good as the other tools.
Yeah.
I wish they did better. Unfortunately, like it sucks that from a comparing ease of use and functionality to a business ethics, I hate to say it, but like functionality wins for me. Like, steal my data, I guess, but you're doing a good job in providing me a good product. I hate it. But I just wish that if there was a competitor that had their shit together, that would make an awesome product. I tried Arc. It looked like it was cool. They were trying to do some innovative stuff. But again, it's just like a browser is such a everyday driver tool that if it's not phenomenally well tested and has a lot of like the basic core functionality figured out, it just falls fat really, really, it falls on its face real fast. And I'd argue that most people don't have the time to be patient with such a mission critical tool in everyday life.
And this is why I'm an eat my cake and eat it too guy, have my cake and eat it too guy, because I use the Firefox forks that I just want to put privacy into. So in Firefox's defense, it is very configurable for privacy, even if you don't want to get another fork like LibreWolf, who just dials that up to 11. So yeah, a lot of the other alternatives, yeah, I don't know. A lot of them are based around just having different UX more than anything else. And I don't give a fuck about that. I just want privacy personally. So I use the existing giants, but I see what I can do to customize them. So at this point, with Manifest V3 gone, Chromium is a lost fucking cause. The only reason I can use Brave, which is performance-wise as wonderful as Chromium, as development tools as wonderful as Chromium, is that Brave, they actually have a fucking staff they pay to bake this shit back into the browser and bake in blockless and bake in fingerprint resisting. So even though I love to research all the different browser types that are out there, and again, Ladybird and Waterfox and Vivaldi and Mulvad, and I can talk about all these things. Yeah, most of them I see them as just kind of being like these weird alternatives that, to your point, Roller, are harder to daily drive. That's not true about all of them. It's not, but I kind of do view them that way.
Yeah.
And Zach's using fucking Edge. Fucking simp.
And again, it's hard to what's it called, penetrate the market, but it does seem like I would very easily throw $10 a month to something that is like a browser that had privacy and actually worked in a way that was functional.
Yeah.
Is that a thing that I don't know about? Maybe.
No, you can donate.
We need to talk about the black wall.
Wait, what? Go ahead.
Well, I said, so we need to talk about the black wall.
Do we?
Because more than one of both of you now have said that you're willing to pay for a better experience on the internet. Tom, you said about a paid search engine.
Yep.
Raul, you want to pay for a privacy focused browser. I'm the same way. And that's the way that the internet is going to be, because so much AI schlock. Dead internet theory has been a thing for a long time now. It's just accelerated to a terminal velocity. And the only way that you're going to get actual quality human-generated content is by going behind those paywalls. Or, if you're familiar with Cyberpunk...
So what dystopia do you want us to live in?
Yeah, we need the black wall where all the AI bullshit stays on its side of the wall, and us soft squishy humans can make stuff on our own in our own part of the internet, and ne'er the twain shall meet. So,
really, to try to answer your question about paid stuff, Kagi is a paid search engine. There are many alternative search engines. Like Brave has its own as well. I use DuckDuckGo personally. Although they too are changing their terms of service. So there are out there. I think Kagi is one of the more unique and it's purely private and privacy, like paid and private. With regard to browsers, there's really none that are pay to play. You can get, if you pay for Kagi, they're going to give you early access to like features and builds of the Orion browser, which is cool, but you got to pay for that and you can still get the browser anyway. Outside of that, you can definitely donate to these companies. I have definitely made one-time donations to several of them. With Brave is interesting because Brave has some kind of controversial tactics people don't like. So like one of their major ways of monetizing is they are into crypto. And so they have their own cryptocurrency. And if you sign up, again, I opt out of all of this, but if you sign up with them, then basically they do the kind of morally gray, we hide everybody else's ads, but we add our own. And by doing those ads, we very slowly build up crypto credit that we're going to give you, which is pennies. This is no significant amount of money, but it's kind of how they're trying to pay for stuff by, again, being a little immoral with swapping out ads as opposed to just blocking them, as well as like doing some crypto shit. So they're a weird company. They're also, of course, selling analytics for their search engine, but not it is supposed to be like proxied and blind as hell, so people can't figure out the users. But they're a little gray, a little weird. They're run by the guy who created JavaScript, who used to be a member of the Mozilla Foundation. So they're, again, they're really morally gray. But at this point, if you want a secure Chromium browser, man, I feel like they're the only way to go. Can you tell I like this stuff and then I research this stuff just a little tiny bit? All right, anything else before we get to trailers?
TypeScript 10x in Go.
Do it. Do it.
That's the headline. That's the story. TypeScript rewrote the compiler. Not the rewrite is a strong word. They ported their compiler from TypeScript to Go, which I guess was an odd choice because like that. Go, the Google language, with a Microsoft tool. Yeah. Why didn't they pick Rust? Why didn't they pick C#? Big part is that it wasn't a rewrite, and it's not fair to call it that. It's a port. They straight up replicated the structure and application space that they had in their TypeScript project into Go, which has a friendly environment for that sort of thing. But since Go is compiled into machine code, it works 10 times faster in real use cases. So like the TypeScript compiler compiles itself, and it went from a 77 second compile time to a 7.6 second compile time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that version of the TypeScript compiler won't be available until TypeScript 7. We're currently in 5. Dot something. So,
but
it'll still be a little while.
But they do the thing where every other version is not. Do they do the every other version is not an LTS? No.
But they still have to like. Do they? I thought they followed the same node release pattern, but maybe I'm wrong. I honestly don't remember. I use whatever the latest available TypeScript compiler is and just don't think about it. So that's exciting, fun news.
I did not realize that. Cool. Yeah, I mean, this breaks the cardinal rule of the compiler compiles itself, though, but it's undebatably going to be faster.
They proved that they could already. I think that was the point.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. It's pretty nuts. I do wonder why Go over Rust.
It's really just the right tool for the job. They weren't doing a rewrite. They were doing a port. And the Rust memory, the Rust managed memory model.
Yeah. Memory safe model.
Is not conducive to the way that TypeScript itself is composed.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Maybe Rust is a thing that they do in the future if they do a complete rewrite. But they balanced practical concerns with feasibility. Yeah. So
I got to admit, I NPM fucking pisses me the fuck off. So the idea that I could not pull down 50,000 files to do a compile, I could just get one Go binary. I ain't complaining about that.
Yeah.
Fun. Oh, fuck. Cool. Good headline. That's fun. That's super fun. All right. Ruli, we're going to do a trailer just for you.
Coming soon to a cinema near you. In a land that...
No, in a land...
In a time...
Nah, I don't think so.
In a land before time.
Yep, yep, yep.
All right, let me get this to the right size. All right, Ruli. I doubt you have seen this, which makes me very excited. Can I change the size of this, please? Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Ruli, tell dear listener we're about to watch.
You should know me better. The leaked trailer for the CW's scrapped live-action Powerpuff Girls pilot from 2021.
What should I know about you? Had you already seen this back in 2021?
Of course I've already seen this.
Well, fuck you. We're watching it again because I haven't seen it.
Once upon a time, Professor Drake Utoni
created a family of his own. Yeah, this was made back... 4 years ago, 2021. What's the deal? Explain.
It's Black Scrubs.
This is supposed to be the original cartoon idea that was the Powerpuff Girls were based on.
They're all so cool, especially Blossom. But not
everyone. So would you have watched this show? What is your take?
As the years passed, there was Powerpuff Paradise.
Blossom no, because of this stuff.
Buttercup was because of this stuff, like with the high school soap op drama CW part. And ass ugly.
And Bubbles yeah,
was constantly drinking. And on one fateful day, the girls made a fatal.
I mean, it looks absolutely terrible. This green screen floaty is so
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's CW level stuff, which. Reaches the expectation I would think for a show like this.
JoJo grew up to be mayor of Townsville. Buttercup became a real hero. And Bubbles? Well, she made it all the way to Hollywood Boulevard.
Hi! I'm Bubbles. Everybody wants to talk to Fake Jesus. Hi!
Well, oops, baby.
The Powerpuff Girls are coming to town tomorrow.
I don't know, man. People on the internet love to dig on the CW, and I have no fucks to give about it, man. Like, people are like, oh, it's cheesy, or it's soapy, or it's, you know, it's feminine. I'm like, cool, man. I don't know. The people just make fun of the Sci-Fi Channel. People have whatever they want. So I have no attachment to the Powerpuff Girls. I can't tell you this is making a mockery of my favorite cartoon characters. They have completely destroyed the subtlety of their dynamic trio.
Because you wanted to be a dad. Then why not just make three normal little girls?
I saw a clip of the creator of the Powerpuff Girls talking about the original idea.
The riot started moments ago
for the cartoon, and it was originally supposed to be the Whoop-Ass Girls, made from sugar and spice and a can of Whoop-Ass.
That's cute. So how did it become like, Powerpuff? Ruli, what's the backstory?
I'm assuming that you wanted to sell it to Cartoon Network and you can't say ass?
Well, they got pretty far along in the process. Like, they got they did their like the little like pitch pilot thing, like the little back the napkin sort of animation thing. And it goes up and up and up the chain until somebody finally says they love it, but you can't call them the Whoop-Ass Girls and put it in front of children. I'm like, okay, fine, you got me. Like, apparently it took that guy a while to start thinking of them as the Powerpuff Girls, because he would just call them the Whoop-Ass Girls. That's what he created.
That would be hard if someone asked me to rename your baby.
Is it the Russian guy that also made Dexter's Laboratory?
Jindy Tchaikovsky?
Yeah, yeah.
Tartakovsky, whatever.
Yes, I can never pronounce his name.
He's our whoop-ass kids. Yes.
He produced it, I think, but I don't think he was the original. I don't think he spawned the idea for it.
No.
Let's see.
To answer your question, Tom...
From the
trailer, I can't tell how trashy it's going to be.
Past tense.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to see the show, but it's just like,
I don't know. We're never gonna.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of sad about, because it looks fun. It looks stupid, but I would watch it.
It's like a popcorn show.
Yeah, totally. I put that on while I'm making dinner.
All right. Got a song for us to go out on. All right, dear listener, thank you so very much for joining us. Please always remember that any and all views expressed on the podcast are representative solely of the person expressing them, not of their friends, family, co-hosts, co-workers, and certainly not of their employers, perhaps as their future. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for respecting our individuality. Gentlemen, will we be back next week?
Yes.
I think I'm out next week.
We'll be partially back next week. Gents, you had some really fucking good answers in this. Really, the Evil Dead one was like real fucking clever, actually. That was like a multi-switch between comedy and horror and television and comedy horror. That was a really good one. That was like, that maybe the MVP. Second only to Portal, of course. But yeah, y'all, thanks again. Super fun. We're going out on Satan Is My Motor because I have a car that shall no longer be named. I'm going to get debadged, and I bought a pro-Ukrainian bumper sticker to put on that thing, but you know,
nice.
Satan's my motor.
Good luck with that.
Thank you. I'm gonna need it. All right, Mr. Mayor, have a great vacation next week. Ruli, we'll be back for a duet, baby. Don't know about what. We'll figure it out. All right. Until then, dear listener, remember, compassion is resistance. QQ. Satan is my motor. Hear my motor part. Satan is my motor. That's it. I'm getting out of here.